what we're going to do in this session is I'm just going to frame the session for 5 minutes, and then we're going to break into five groups of five and have a go at doing some stuff. And just, you know, you go outside and or do what you like, or, you know, just find your own spaces or whatever. I don't know where you're allowed. Don't venture on the green. And we're going to go have a go doing it. Once we've done that, we'll all come back together. And if we've got time, we can feedback. But I think if you're all chatting amongst yourselves, that's good enough. I'd love to create room from 20 minutes just as we end at 1, that 20 minutes before, just to clear away the chairs and pray and lay our hands on people, see what the Lord's doing. Because actually, like I say to our church, if you don't ask what the Lord's doing here, and have a go, how are you going to do it in Asda? And somebody shouted out, well, I don't shop in Asda. But you know, it's that kind of thing of like, I know that if I don't have a go in the family environment, then when I am down the frozen section in Lidl, or I don't know, wherever you are, you know, it's like God will then say to me, hey, I'm doing this. And so when I'm more open to what the Lord's saying here, I know that sort of when I get out there, I mean, I haven't shared a whole pile of crazy stories in the first 2 years of crazy things happening, but I'll be enough of time.
I'll
share one. Shall I share one?
Share one.
Poor Phil might have heard this one. But basically, well, there were numbers of ones where I kept saying to the Lord, so what are you doing then? Right? And the funniest one, because there's been a whole lot of random ones, but this one sticks out, was that I had a children's Bible, and I was coming back from the Christian Resources exhibition, and I had a Bob Hartman Bible with me, and I thought, I'm starving, it's 10 o'clock at night, it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm starving, I need to get something to eat. Walked in, ordered some of my favourite chow mein and a spring roll and some prawn crackers and all the other stuff that will give you a Connery. And put my Bible down and went off, munched away, went to bed. Next morning I woke up thinking, where's that Bible I'm meant to give that person? Oh dear, where is it? And my wife, who just has a memory like, actually a memory like the Lord, like she can recall things from like 20 years ago that I haven't said.
They're all like that.
You never said that.
Greg, you extrovert.
The funniest thing about having a wife who's very into detail when you're preaching is she'll often be sitting there doing that. And telling the whole row that that's not how it happened. so moving swiftly on. So she then said to me, you've left it in the Chinese restaurant, I bet. And I was like, so I rang up the next morning and they said, yes, there is a Bible here. Do you want to come and pick it up? So I'm busy now, right? So I'm on my own schedule. Like, so remembering all these things that I wrote down. I'm busy. I've got three people to see in the next 5 hours. So I'm on a mission. So I'm in the car. I think I'm going to run in there. I'm going to grab the Bible. I'm going to leave and I'm going to get to my next appointment. That should take me 10 minutes. I'm working this out. Parked the car, ran in, said, oh, hi, I'm the guy who left the children's Bible here. And the woman over the counter said, yeah, okay, Chinese lady. Said, yeah, oh. She picks the Bible up and she puts it over the counter and I go to get it and she holds it like that. And I'm like, and it was a to me to you sort of thing. What's going on? There's tension in the room. Yeah. I'm between two Buddhas. I'm not talking about members of staff. I'm literally there are two big giant Buddhas. So I'm just here going, this is a really strange environment. And she looks at me like that and she goes, everybody needs a book like this. So I was like, right. She said, I read it cover to cover. Now it's a children's book, so it's like 20 stories. Everybody needs to know about Jesus.
Wow.
So I'm kind of like, so when I said this morning, Lord, what are you doing? So he starts talking to me and he goes, well, you did ask me, right? So I'm here right now. But what about my 1 o'clock? I don't care, that's your appointment. This is my appointment, right? So I'm just there thinking, okay. So I say to her, well, do you want me to tell you about Jesus? Oh, please don't say yes. Like, I'm being really honest. In my faith levels were on the floor. And sometimes you get told all this stuff, we've got to have faith, but actually it's his faith often operating in a situation, his power at work, in your weakness. Right? So you don't always have to have bulging faith muscles for something to happen. Right? Sometimes it works like that, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm like, I was ready, I needed a go. And this woman, she said, okay, tell me about Jesus then. And I went, they're great stories, aren't they? So we opened up and I was trying to, talking away there. And then the Lord said, right, you need to invite Holy Spirit to come. I'm like, it's lunch time. There are people coming in. There's this woman at the counter, still holding this Bible. We were still doing this before. So I said to her, hey, look, would you like me to pray for you so that Jesus can talk to you himself, right? Because I haven't got a special line. He can talk to you. I can transfer him through to you. What's your number? And so then I prayed for her. She just burst into tears. So I'm just being really honest with you. Now, God was operating and I was in my flesh. I'm trying to give you confidence that just go for it, right? And so then she's sobbing and sobbing. And all the prayer that's coming out of my mouth is dropping off the side of my lip. I think what Jesus is saying. And I'm coming out with all this stuff thinking, oh my gosh. Like, and she said, my business is just about to close down. And I'm in a dreadful state. And she just starts opening up. And I said to her, how about our church hires out your place and we come up en masse in about a month's time and just pack the whole place out? She said, you do that? So a month later, I don't know how many of us went, but we packed up the restaurant and actually gave them, I think, an incredibly generous tip. Yeah. They're still operating today. They're still operating today. And every time you walk past, you go, Jesus cares about your business. Mm. I am in this area to show you that Jesus cares about your business, right? And it's the same with the hairdresser. I know you don't believe it, but I do get my hair cut. I've got an ongoing conversation with my hairdresser now, who started freaking out and manifesting while she was cutting my hair. Not funny. I mean, you get the sort of messy look, but you know, it didn't want it that messy. And I said, that's another story for another time. But she started crying as she was cutting my hair. Like, oh, I can't believe it. My husband's left me. And I'm like, oh, all I asked was, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, well, you know, you said, you asked me what I was up to. My vision for today is this woman. Mm-hmm. Imagine if a church family of 100 people who were all programmed up to say, okay, imagine if we all reached 100 people on any one given day. Because that was the vision of God for that day, was to show that woman that he cared about her. He cared about her business. He cared about the intricacies of her life. And I was just the channel. It wasn't me being Super Benny Hinn with my coat and throwing it over her or anything like that. No, seriously, I'm not, you know, it wasn't me being a superstar. Me being a servant. So anyway, so that's just one for the sweet job. So what we want to do in this time is, so from now until, so 11:45, now for about just under an hour, is I'm going to ask you guys 5 questions, because the land that I've laid there is literally just a base of how we've been walking through doing this stuff. But actually, you can do that, and if you just do that and you don't dig deeper, all you're ever doing is having a surface-based, look, you're going deep with stuff in your own self, but as you realise, it isn't about just work, you work deep in yourself so you can flow out, okay? So the idea is, well, how can we take the work that God's doing inside of us in some practical bits and actually really get into a little bit more detail? Let me just say this, it's really wrong to jump from one side to the other and just cuss everything that anyone's ever done about leadership or management or stuff like that. Do you realise most of those books that management consultants have written they've nicked the parables? Have you read Stephen Covey? He's nicked the parables. I read it, I was like, that's the parable of the star, you cheeky monkey. You know, there's copyright. I was looking in the Bible for copyright. And so actually, what we're doing is we are getting those principles back, because these are kingdom principles. Yeah. So what I want us to think about, if you can see something, the next question is, well, what do I do with that? And what I want us to do, I'm going to write 5 things down and explain them, and then we're going to break into groups of 5 and have a discussion. And it doesn't matter today, even if just a seed is sown or an idea has come, you don't have to answer every question. But the idea is to leave here, even if a seed has been sown, with some questions that will enable you to get to the answer point. So the first thing is, like, question one, or vision. Well, what is, how do we break that down? And here's the question that I'd love you guys to grapple with. Whether that be either one person's idea or an idea you feel that's brewing in the body of Christ or the church or whatever. What are we trying to achieve? So if you've seen something, if God has shown you something, actually he is about achieving something, because he actually says you will know them by their fruit. So you do actually, you can taste and see what is happening. So if you were to ask a question about vision, well, what are we trying to achieve? If God is showing me something, what is he wanting to achieve? Because he's up to something and he is about doing things. Second one is okay, so strategy, which is kind of like a boo word. But actually, all that means is, in what ways are we trying to achieve it? So this isn't like trying to get into loads of management speak. It's just saying, well, what are we trying to achieve? If you want to do something, well, what are we trying to achieve? It's good to know that, because when you communicate vision to people, you need to know what you're trying to achieve. Vision, strategy, team. All that means is, who do we want to achieve it with? Because that question automatically takes your ownership of the thing God's shown you off you, and a reliability on seeing it from a much wider perspective. Because God will give you 20%. Do you know that you only see in part? That's in the Bible. Thank the Lord. He hasn't given anyone the full picture. He's given you three bits of the jigsaw and said, now you need to hunt out who's got the other pieces. Time. Well, actually, it's really healthy to know when we want to achieve things by. It's not like you know. So for us, the Lord spoke to us really clearly and said, "I want you to move from Chelmsford in April." And this was January, and we were like, "What?" And then a couple of months ago, he said, he really clearly, through hearing God, writing stuff down, and then other people speaking to us, we felt that we would have moved into a house we've bought by July. We got confirmation last week that we're moving in on the 31st of July. Wow. Everybody was laughing at us in February when we said, we think we're going to be in a new house in July. Everybody's like, you've ate too many raisins again, Nigel. Which I occasionally get accused of. So actually having a time frame, but in a stake in the ground. So, do you know, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to stake in the ground about this thing. I'm going to go. I'm going to head there. Because then it shows the enemy, and it shows all the other enemies that may pop up, that you mean what you say. No, I'm putting my head on the lead block. And then the question, the final question to ask, is all about a little bit of structure. Are we properly organised to achieve it? So whenever God gives an idea, He will be asking you, what do you think, guys? What do you think I want to achieve in all of this? So we're always like, okay, we've seen something, and we're choosing to see big. What are you trying to achieve? He then really wants us to break it down and say, well, in what ways are we trying to achieve that? In what ways? Because the how we do what we do is really important. Because actually, the world is watching us. And how will people know who we are? How will people know who we are? What did Jesus say? How will people know? People will know who you are because...
For love one another.
Because you love one another. Mm-hmm. Love is not a sloppy word. It's not like, oh, I love you. You know, it's like love is doing the hard yards. It's actually making tough choices. It's choosing to work together even when we've clashed. And thinking the best of... Love is the hard choices. The hard choices that keep people together even though they're diverse. So in what ways are we trying? Team. Who do we want to achieve it with? You're not an island, as Del Boy used to say. Remember Del Boy? Growing up, that's all I ever got fed from my father. Only fools and horses. Mm. And he used to say, no man, Rodney, is an island. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. The truth of the matter is, God has actually put something in us, but he's put something in a whole pile of other group of people, and our job is to gather them and to see. And then time, like I've said. And actually, yes, the structure question. It's the last one, because it shouldn't be the first one. If you ask that question first, you kill that.
Yeah.
Are we probably organised to achieve the vision? Well, what's the vision? I don't know. So let's kill the vision before we start. What do you see? What ways are you going to see that taking place? Who are you going to call in? When are you going to aim to do it by? And do you have the infrastructure, the really, you know, the small things that will hold it together as you grow and develop? So what I'd love us to do, and because I'm not a teacher and I don't believe in doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because that irritates me when I sit in places and people do that. I believe that as you're all leaders here, you can get into groups of five quite ably yourselves. But maybe what I would say is, maybe if there's someone who you've not had a chance to talk to loads at church, or someone you thought, I've always wanted to, or maybe you've had a conversation and thought, oh yeah, that thing's been brewing in me, and I had a chat with them a couple of weeks ago and I felt something, then just be a little bit strategic. It's okay, it's not off the devil. You can be a little bit strategic in sort of like saying, oh, I'd love, can I come in your room? Yeah. And the reason why I'm being as loose as just chat these things through is, I believe God will birth stuff in your conversations, even if they're just the beginning thoughts. So the time is 5 to 12, so we're going to do like 45 minutes. So if you could just gather into groups of five, and I don't know where you're allowed to go or where the off point, but just feel, you'll have to stay in here, then yeah, gather around, move yourselves about, make use of the space, and then I'll hover around and you can just pull me and grab me and talk to me at any given point, but let's start doing that now.